The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
For the final hour, and we appreciate all of you being with us. We talked about this earlier today, about this country song that is climbing the charts, and it's all about love of someone who loves the Tennessee Vols. Let me say hello to Megan Maroney, who's joining us now. Megan, first of all, we are delighted to say hello to you. I heard this song a couple weeks ago, and it's in my head, and I'm so happy that you could make time for us. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's talk a little bit for a second about you, and then we're going to share with the audience something that millions have already seen and heard, and that's the song. But tell us your backstory. You went to Georgia, which is really the key to this whole episode, isn't it?
Yep. I did go to UGA. I graduated in 2020. And I kind of got my music start in Athens. I went to school to be an accountant, and I came out a marketing, digital marketing, and music business major.
So you get into country music. You start touring with some major names from Chase Rice to right now, Jamie Johnson, and many others. So how did you make this pivot from what you studied and what you got a degree in to what you're currently doing?
Yeah, so in college, I was a freshman, and I was in a sorority, and we had a philanthropy event where we hired John Langston to come play a show, and they needed a free opener, which was me. And I played the show, and Chase Rice was there. A month later, he had me come open a sold-out show. So I played my first like real gig at the Georgia Theater in Athens, and I kind of fell in love with it. And then I changed my major and just kind of prepared myself to be able to move to Nashville after I graduated.
So you've had a couple of other songs that you had an album out a couple of months ago, and you've had success, but I think this is a sports show, obviously. I'm fascinated. I went to Tennessee, so maybe I'm more fascinated than everybody else. But how did tell us the backstory on this song and what was behind it?
Okay, so I moved to Nashville after graduation, obviously, and when I moved here, I met a lot of Tennessee boys, a lot of Tennessee Vols, so kind of had a crush on one of them, and I found myself, it only happened one time where I had a shirt on that was a Tennessee shirt, but because it felt so wrong, I knew I could write a song about it, and that's kind of, it's definitely a true story.
Okay, I think we have we're ready to play the song. I want to give everybody a little bit of a snippet of what we're talking about here. This is Tennessee Orange.
Met somebody, he's got blue eyes. He opens the door and he don't make me cry. From where we're from, but he feels like home, yeah. He's got me doing things I've never done.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times a day I'm playing this song. Megan, so you write it, you record it, and take it from there on what happened afterwards.
So right after I wrote it, I sent it to my mom, who is a diehard Georgia fan, and she was absolutely disgusted with me. she was like, surely this is a made-up story, right? But yeah, we decided that we wanted it to come out in time for football season, because I think anyone that understands the SEC and all the rivalries like gets the song. And I liked it, so we put it out, and it's done really well. So it's been exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I've read variations of the amount of streams that it's had, and I know it's moving up the charts, which is really what it's all about. Do you usually you put a company, a record label puts all this stuff out. Where are you right now with all this?
I'm completely independent. So I don't have a publishing deal. I don't have a record deal. I have a manager and a booking agent, and my friend does my tour management. So that is the team right now.
So, and by the way, I mean, to get a song moving up the charts without being hooked in with one of the big companies in Nashville is fairly unusual. But you've had some success. I mean, how are you able to, other than good music, I guess, how are you able to do this?
I don't know. I mean, I think TikTok has definitely helped. As soon as I posted the first snippet of it, it kind of went viral. And then once people knew the song was coming out, it continued to blow up and it became a trend. I mean, I think I've seen people switch out the team names and stuff with the song. So, yeah.
Have you heard from anybody in Knoxville at the school yet?
I have not.
You may after this appearance.
Maybe.
I'm surprised. To me, and I know other artists have, obviously Kenny Chesney grew up in that area, and he's written about his love for Tennessee, and so have other people. I think Morgan Wallen as well. But, I mean, this one is just, the reason why I think this is different, I'm not a music critic, but, I mean, you're cutting to the core of a lot of relationships where Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, Auburn, and I think that's why it's so unique.
Yeah, I joked and I said it was as close as I could get to a love song because I don't really write too many love songs. But I do think as a Georgia Bulldog, wearing Tennessee orange is quite the statement.
Well, the game this year is in Athens, as I'm sure you know. I think it would be great if you came down and performed it there. You might need some extra security. In terms of what you do with it now, when you're, I mean, obviously I know you're part of a tour at the moment. How has it been received when you're playing it live?
I mean, it's only been out for 3 weeks now. Okay. And I was on the road, I think last weekend, and everyone already knows the words, which is absolutely crazy. I haven't played in Tennessee or Georgia. So I guess it's resonating even though it's not. I haven't played in Athens or Knoxville yet.
Well, nobody cares what I say, but I am demanding that this song, that you sing this song at Neyland Stadium. I've heard Charlie Daniels there. I've heard other entertainers over the years. It's not unusual for Tennessee to have a halftime act. And can you imagine, considering how well Tennessee is playing right now?
How
110,000 people, I think that would be pretty cool, wouldn't it?
Right. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Well, we are going to work hard, Megan, to try to expedite that happening. And I think this is a good start, being on a show that is probably on in a few rooms at the University of Tennessee. What next for you? I know you're on tour, but in terms of, do you think you'll come back to this theme at all?
Yeah, I want to put out a stripped down version. And then I've got, I'm on the road this year and then next year, new music. But I hope that it turns out like a Christmas song where every season it gets, everyone remembers it exists. So
I don't want to blow the whole concept here, but you're still a Georgia fan, right?
Oh yeah. I plan on going to the Tennessee Georgia game and I will be in Georgia red. I'm not wearing Tennessee orange.
Oh my goodness. Well, there's a chance we might be there. I have to see that. The idea of you singing Tennessee orange wearing a red and black is just a showstopper.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Megan, congratulations. It's a great song. We appreciate you making time for us and all the best. We hope to see you soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
What an incredible story. I don't know if Megan helped her cause there to play at Neyland Stadium by saying she'd wear the red of Georgia, but anyway, it's a really cool song. We will take a break. Listen to this all day.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
A lot of reaction to Megan, Smoky Mountain Ball, saying, glad Megan is a Vols fan. Anyway, we're hearing a lot of people talking about downloading it, and it's pretty cool. It's not the first time somebody has written a song about a team, but probably the most unique angle, being a Georgia person. And, I mean, who hasn't done that? Haven't all of you worn the other colors at it for love? Can you imagine Daryl wearing a, you know, meeting a Tennessee girl and donning the Tennessee orange? Could that ever happen, Daryl?
No, but hell no, okay? There is no – I mean, how can that even happen? That is a sign right there that the world must be getting close to coming to an end. You will find – I tell you like this. I went to the store the other day. I bought something. The lady handed it to me. It was orange, okay? True story. I said, ma'am, I don't mean to sound rude, but can you give me another color? I can't. She said, sure, what color? I said, any color but orange. You will find nothing in my home that's orange, Paul. Absolutely nothing. I tell you what, I got a song, okay, with some lyrics that I think we ought to play in a couple of weeks. Ought to get published. We play it a couple of weeks up in Athens. You want to hear it?
Well, I mean, after hearing a real live country song, are you going to play it for us?
Yeah, I'm going to sing it to you. It goes like this, okay?
Okay.
Football on old Rocky Top used to be a big deal, but they ain't won squad on Rocky Top since they fired Fat Phil. Rocky Flop, you'll always be home sweet home to me. Good old Rocky Flop, Rocky Flop, Tennessee. That's all you'll ever be. Publish that one. Go dogs. See you, Bob.
Yeah, maybe not. Hate to tell you, I think Megan outsung you there. How original was that? I mean, it's like ripping off the Beatles and acting like it's your song. Let's continue. Dave is up next in Virginia. Hello, Dave. Dave, you there? Apparently not. How about... Brian is in Alabama. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Paul, love the show. Just got to tell you that. But I got to tell you, not everybody's so old. I might have got a little bit old waiting on this call to get through. But I'm 54, and I identify as 34. So you have some young listeners out there.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And, that was somewhat of a joke, what we were saying, but that's okay.
Yeah, I know it was, Paul. Nobody can beat a stick to the dog on Alabama. So roll tide, brother.
Bob is up next. Hey, Bob, you are on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call. Love your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I got a question kind of following up on some Nick Saban comments that kind of came from Heather previously. As we all know, good things will come to an end. Coach Saban will retire at some point. So I'm going to pose a hypothetical to you for this year. Alabama runs the tables. They win the national championship, and Nick decides he wants to go out on a high note, so he retires. Who would be your first choice to come in there behind him to replace a very tough program now with his legend going on? So who do you think would come in if that would happen this year?
Yeah, Bob, that's a tough one to call because there have been a couple of people that I may have suggested, but they seem to come and go very quickly. A couple of months ago, I would have said maybe Mario Cristobal, but I'm not saying that right now because I think he's been dinged up pretty good this year. Sometimes you look at the staff. Is there an assistant coach on that staff that would take over? The most prominent assistant coach is Bill O'Brien. Is he going to fit the bill? He's been the head coach at Penn State. He's been the head coach, obviously, in the NFL. So, and then you start looking around and going, who is the bright young coach that Greg Byrne would feel comfortable with and the alumni would feel comfortable with? Dabo Swinney is a name that always comes to mind. I've always been hesitant to suggest that because I'm not sure Dabo would want the job or maybe they would want him. Who would you choose?
Well, that's who I would choose is Dabo. He played football there. He's an alumnus, and that I really think that he wants to get back there. But again, timing is everything, as you know. But I just think if Alabama runs the tables this year, that would be a perfect time for Nick to step down. I mean, that's what I would do.
But it was also a perfect time a couple of years ago, and he showed no signs of it. I'm baffled by whether Saban really is concerned about going out on a high note. I mean, he's done so much that any note is still going to be a good note. I mean, I think sometimes we think about the script. Okay, that's how, wouldn't that be perfect? But do you know how many people in any field go out on a high note?
Very few.
Well, almost nobody. I mean, I think it's one of the toughest things I've ever seen. I mean, look at Tom Brady, for example. He's the greatest quarterback in NFL history. He could have left 2 years ago after a Super Bowl, but he came back. And by the way, last year he had a really brilliant season. He almost made it back, but he didn't. Then he retires, and now he's back again in the process. He probably has ended his marriage. And there's a reason why most people, no matter who they are, however old they are, and what they're doing, have a hard time because they are so consumed by what they do that they would almost rather crash and burn than leave too early. I asked a former NFL player once. I said, I knew him well enough I could ask this. I said, why didn't you retire a couple years earlier? He said, you never want to leave if you feel like you still have something left. And I think Nick Saban today believes that he still has something left, whether it's a title or whatever. When you've won so many, it's one thing to be chasing that only title. I'm not saying it doesn't matter to him. Of course it does. That's how he's built. But I think he genuinely loves what he does.
Yes. All right, Paul, thanks for taking my question.
Yeah, no, it's a fascinating subject. There's really a great thesis in it or a book about, you know, what people deal with at the end or how do you know when in the end. Usually there are some reasons why coaches retire. They're sick. They have some ailment. I saw a coach recently who retired because he needed back surgery. He literally couldn't coach any longer. To be a football coach, you can't be in constant pain. Cat Daddy, you see that all the time at the store, don't you? How do you know when to leave?
Well, Lord have mercy, you brought that up. Clemson Tom come in the store.
Yeah.
And he's bragging, and I'm banging, I'm picking at him, saying, we all barely beat Wake Forest. They talk about Wake Forest got a great team.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, well, y'all ain't done much. I said, listen, I remember when we had Paul Dietzelem, he had pretty good teams, and we know what Steve Spurrier did. But I saw the interview earlier with the state reporter and yourself, Dale, which was very good because that young man told you the truth. We've had a lot of expectations in the last 2 years, but just never quite reached where we want to go. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, and I think there was a feeling about Shane Beamer that this was going to be different. And I'm not saying it's not, but it looks like it may take a little longer than some people thought.
Well, you got that right. There's always hope. I think he's going to do a good job, but I think people expect too much too soon because we Carolina fans have been through a lot of disappointment, and we've had our fun time too, but this is a new experiment, and I hope Shane the best, and I really appreciate you putting him on the air today. And I just love the show, Big Paul. Hope you and your family are doing well.
We are. Great to hear from you. Be safe down there in Carolina. I think we have Dave back again. Dave is in Virginia. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to call to support Betty from Tyler yesterday. You had talked about the whole Jimbo Fisher, you know, the LSU thing, and you said, "No, I never said any of those things."
Right.
But kind of you created the, you or producers or ESPN created that narrative, presented one side, and then never came back and talked to anybody that supported, like, Jimbo staying at A&M. So it's kind of disingenuous.
Listen, Dave, I'm not going to argue with you. I know what we do here, and we don't present only one narrative. We present both. I remember sitting in College Station in October interviewing Ross Bjork, and he brought it up on our set about he was going to keep Jimbo Fisher. He brought it up. I didn't bring it up. And I think fans often hear what they want to hear, and frankly, I think you've heard what you want to hear.
Okay, well, love your show, and we'll continue listening.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
And that's fine. That's the nature of fandom. If fans didn't hear what they wanted to hear, we wouldn't have a show. I'm not being critical of that. I'm just, but I don't. I think we're well past litigating whether Jimbo Fisher was going to Florida. It is a fact that that LSU was trying to hire him. He ultimately decided to stay where he did when he got that tremendous raise. He has an agent that played both sides. He didn't play both sides. He played the A&M side. The other side wasn't dealing with the agent. They were trying to hire him directly, the same way that athletic director had hired him at A&M. And ultimately, Jimbo decided what he wanted to do. He wanted to stay at A&M. Got a new contract, makes a lot of money, and I suppose has lived happily ever after. We'll take a short break. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's talk to Steve next in Georgia. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Mr. Paul.
Hi there.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I talked to you a couple of years ago about some of the problems that blind people have as far as seeing some of the stuff that's written. Just for an example, the top 20 or whatever.
Right.
You know, like we only focus on 1 and 2, and then my team may be down there around 11 and 12. But But I didn't call to complain. But one other viewer today mentioned something about the contrast in jerseys from home and visitor.
Yes.
That is a terrible problem. I can't see very well one way or the other, but if you've got it contrasted, I can at least see it moving right or left. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, let me ask you this, Steve. In terms of your limitations, how severe are they? I mean, what can you decipher?
Just some light.
Okay.
What
would help you in terms of watching these games?
Well, you know, these days with these smart TVs that are a lot smarter than I am. And Paul, you asked a really, really tough question. There's just so much that could be done by the when calling the ball, saying what yard line it's on, down and distance.
Well, Steve, let me explain one thing, and it doesn't really satisfy your question, but television, the approach of a television broadcaster is dramatically different than a radio broadcaster, as I'm sure you know. Radio, they give you down the distance, time, the set, almost every single play, where in television, they wrongly, but they also assume you can see it all.
Right.
So they don't do as much description. In some ways, they're encouraged not to talk too much. So, you know this, like there's an epic play at the end of the game. There's a producer telling the broadcasters, don't talk. Let the screen, let the picture tell the stories.
Right.
That doesn't help you very much, though.
No, and I try to really stay, you know, in the flow of the ball game, because it could be, you know, much, much worse. And like I said, I didn't call to complain.
No, that's okay, but I think a lot of times we just don't realize what the issues are. But a lot of people are in your shoes.
Yeah, you're talking about, you know, radio. I also like, you know, NASCAR. They have it on radio and TV. But after you get past the first 10 cars, you don't hear anything else about the other 26.
Right.
That's all I can think of to complain
that's
about.
This is the right place. So, thank you for sharing that. I'll think about it as well, just for this show, because I think sometimes I don't describe a lot. I just one thing we do a little differently here, though, and there are two different components to this program, as most of you or some of you know. It's on television, obviously, but it's also on radio. So if you're listening on radio, you may not hear as many descriptions as you would if we didn't have the television component. For someone like our friend there, that is a disadvantage. Well, thank you very much for the call. Let's check out Bobby, who is in Florida. Hello, Bobby.
Paul, good evening, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you very much.
From Greencoast, Florida. Paul, earlier you were speaking to a gentleman there in Tuscaloosa who's going to follow up after Saban. I had an interesting take. Hugh Freeze, head coach, bringing in Jeremy Pruitt, defensive coordinator. I know that's not really what I was aiming for, but I just wanted to put my input on that, see what you thought. And also a little bit about how Alabama's going to stack up for their schedule for the rest of the season. Offensively, I thought their line held up very well for the duration of the game against Vanderbilt. So if you like, you could probably give me some pointers on both of those, the aspect of what I was asking about the coaching and Alabama finishing up for the rest of their season.
Yeah, Bobby, I think Hugh Freeze would be an extreme long shot. Right now, Hugh Freeze has to get a major job. He has done an extraordinary job at Liberty, but he has still failed to get what I would call a major Power 5 job. And his name has been linked to the not yet open Auburn job. But I think Alabama would be out of his reach at the moment. I'm not saying it wouldn't be down the road. Once you get back in the club, all is forgiven, especially if you can win. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Appreciate it very, very much. David is in South Carolina. Hello, David.
Hey, Paul. I'm not going to ask you how you're doing today because I know you're doing just fine. Everybody else has already asked you that. I know since the last time I called, you wrote on your calendar, you've been waiting on this day for me to call back and talk about my volunteers. So I know you're excited this afternoon. Because you're my number one and I'm your number one, man. Come on, everybody watching TV knows that.
That's fabulous.
Hey, I want to say two things before we get into that. Did you know, this was a staggering stat I saw, that Kent State, of course, scored 22 on Georgia. But do you know that the Shamecocks, and you know I love to call them the Shamecocks, them and Oregon combined only scored 10 on Georgia, and Kent State scored 22. That's an amazing stat.
Yeah, but I would classify that as an aberration. That was a game that you can say whatever you want, but it just seemed like Georgia was sleepwalking. And stats can be very deceptive. You can use football stats any way you want. Later in the year, it's hard to manufacture them, but after four games, they're often skewed. I don't read much into that game at all because Kent State's a pesky team, and they played well, and Georgia just didn't care. And they may not care for the next couple of games.
But I just wanted to bring that stat. Second thing is, and this is quick, you don't have to reply. Cat Daddy is drinking too much shine in South Carolina. He gives all us South Carolina folk a bad name with all that shine he's drinking.
The guy works at a liquor store, so what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, I know he does. But on a Tuesday, Paul, come on, a Tuesday.
If I worked at a liquor store, I don't think I could. I don't know about you. I would imbibe. There's no way you could sit there all day and listen to people complain without taking a break back to the back, grab a snort. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.